Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Please kindly repeat. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Purport. The reason why pure souls come into existential circumstance of material world, which is considered to be criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated that as long as a living entity is pure, he is complete harmony with the desire of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. By contamination, he is forced to transfer into the material world, where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger, and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence, and when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not therefore be angry in the absence of opportunity for sense gratification. One should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse, it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent into the material world, where criminals are allowed to reside. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, persons conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha Loka. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one to be promoted to Vaikuntha. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Naminim Namaste Saraswati Devam Hi Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pascha Chyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Seeking the blessings of everyone, probably most of you are a bit more realized in Krishna consciousness than me. Vanchakalpa, Tribhishya, Kripa, Sindhubhya, Evacha, Patito Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Life, as we experience, is all about learning different lessons that can help us in our own Krishna consciousness. The beautiful pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam are all there so that we can learn something, purify ourselves, and hopefully we can use some of the things that have happened in our own daily life so that we can also avoid some of the pitfalls in life. So this particular pastime of Jai and Vijay, not allowing the four Kumaras into the Vaikuntha realm, is a popular topic and discussed quite heavily within the community of the devotees. So when we look at this, what is the first lesson we can learn from this pastime? Or if you've read this pastime, or if you discuss this pastime, what are some of the things that surfaces that we can learn so that we can also avoid? As we can see, these two are being punished by the four Kumaras. If you'd like to be punished, put your hands up. Govinda, you want to be punished? No one wants to be punished. No one wants a heavy rod of chastisement. No one wants to be told off. We want to go life relatively without anyone giving us the old earful. So what can we learn from these pastimes that we can imply within our own life? So I'm throwing it out there. What can we learn from this pastime? I have my own, but you know, this is an assembly of Vaishnavas. Who's going to start first? What's your name? Philip. Okay, Philip. Do you know this pastime?
Yes.
Thank you. What can you shed us, please? Okay. Yeah.
So if we start to focus on the material modes of nature and also the duality of it, then we come away from the Krishna consciousness. We come back down into the material modes.
That's good. So Vaikuntha is a place called no anxiety. And so therefore it is not a fit place for someone who is in anxiety about something, as Philip has mentioned, and then why discerned. So anything else? Akila, what have you learned? You're an old timer. You've heard many, many classes, probably sat here maybe. Okay, no problem. We'll let you off. Ladies? yes. So that's the first and important lesson. We shouldn't judge somebody on an external level. Nobody has the dint, unless you're a pure devotee, what's in someone's internal Krishna consciousness. So I think there's a famous English saying. You know what I'm thinking of? See if you're on the same page. Don't judge a book by its cover. So sometimes when we see somebody, we immediately assume somebody. Our radars are constantly judging people, trying to assess a situation. We have this eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So defending comes in a sense that we are trying to be aware of the situation, and then you look at one person and you see them, and then you already make a certain judgment about them, and then you look at another person and you make a judgment about another person. Once a monk, a sadhu, he went to see Krishna in Gokul. And sadhus, they're generally a little bit disheveled, long hair, matted hair, beard, and they just rely on Mother Nature for the kind of clothes. So they don't always externally seem the most smart looking, like you. You're looking very smart there, Prabhuji. So you won't be denied entrance into Vaikuntha. But someone who doesn't look materially together, then we might make a certain judgment. So this sadhu went to see Krishna when Krishna was living in Gokul. And the ladies over there, they became a little bit alarmed. Who is this person? He wants to come and see baby Krishna. Should we allow this person in? Krishna's there playing in the courtyard. So imagine that situation. If you see this person, how would you react? And of course, our impulse straight away is what? If someone came to your lady's ashram dressed like that, you know, Jagatpriya, Jagatpriya, there's a madman over here, help, help. Get the pan out and throw it at him. And then this sadhu was denied entrance. And he was turned away. But the sadhu didn't be affected. He was a sadhu. Sadhu doesn't have dualities of life. If we get rejected, how do we feel? Have you been rejected? Yes? How do you feel?
Very sad,
for such true. Who's been denied Mahaprasadam? We get really upset when we get denied Mahaprasadam. But this sadhu, he wasn't affected in any way. Then he walked away. But then what happened? Jai? That's right. Krishna started crying because Krishna didn't see the external. Krishna saw it was who? Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, he wanted to have darshan of Krishna. And then the baby, Krishna started crying. The ladies tried to do all sorts of things. Kuchi, kuchi, koo. But nothing seemed to stop the baby crying. Then the sadhu walked past. As soon as the sadhu walked past, boop, chup. Krishna stopped crying. And then as soon as the sadhu walked past again, Krishna started crying again. And then the ladies noticed this, and then they invited the sadhu to come and see Krishna. And of course, as we know, it was Lord Shiva. So externally, we were judging someone. So it is within our duality of life. It is our material state that we judge people, and as a result of that, then we kind of make an assumption of someone, and then we could possibly enter into the realm of creating an offense, not knowing someone who they exactly are. There's another beautiful pastime where somebody was externally judged. Anyone know this story? Of course, there's many, many. So again, let's see how our minds are all linked together. Do, 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 do. What story do you think I'm thinking of? Putana. So? Putana. Now, Putana came as a beautiful lady. So she was allowed in. Sanatan Goswami, yeah, he was externally, having gone through jungles, mountains, and rivers. When he came over there, he looked a little bit kind of under the weather. Sorry? Bakasura? No, Vikasura, yeah, one of the demons, right? No, I'm thinking about another pastime completely in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Was a deer before? Jadbharat. That's right. So I don't know if you know the story of Jadbharat. So Jadbharat was the great emperor. In fact, India was named Bharat, Bharat Varsha, after him, because he was the great emperor. Then he became a little bit attached to the deer. And then in his next life, he became a deer. And then in his following life, he became... He became a kind of what we call externally, I'm not sure, let's just say interesting person. He was born in a Brahmin family, but he didn't follow the social norms. He didn't shower, he didn't have the right etiquette, he possibly smelled a little bit, you know. So then his father tried very, very hard to try and train him in a Brahminical way, but nothing seemed to work. Eventually, the father tried so hard, then the brothers, as it is in the family, squabble once in a while. The brothers sometimes have a bit of a squabble. And then he was rejected, and he lived there. And then he was wandering around, and Maharaj Rahugana was being carried on his palanquin. And then one of the palanquins had a day off or was sick, or did a sicky note, he wasn't there. So then how to carry the king? It's very hard with three people carrying. You need a fourth person. So then they saw Jadbharat wandering around, and they said, hey, hut, are you? And then they just, without even asking him if he wanted to or not, it's always good to ask. And then he didn't complain. Then he started carrying the palanquin. It all started going nicely. The king was there, hee-ha-ha, waving at the citizens and blah, blah, blah. I always wondered, the king, didn't he have any other person to choose? But anyway, that's a different deviant kind of a path. But then, all of a sudden, the ride started becoming a little bit jerky, a little bit uncomfortable, up and down. Recently, I was just in Italy, and there was one devotee. He was riding a car, and he was thinking he was riding a Lamborghini. And even though when there was a corner, he was going really fast, he was braking all of a sudden, and I was going back and forth. Oh, I was feeling a bit seasick. So this is how Maharaj Rahugana was feeling, a little bit kind of not as smooth this ride. And then the reason why Jadbharat was doing that was because, Govinda? That's right. So, I mean, I don't know about anyone else. I try to look on the floor. There's always so many slugs and ants. I try to avoid them, especially after the rain. There's so many slugs everywhere. God. And you try to avoid them. Sometimes, unfortunately, you hear a crunch. Ooh. But you say Gauranga, hopefully that will help. So he was avoiding, just like also Mrugarari, he was also trying to avoid saints. They don't want to kill unnecessarily. And as a result, his movements were awkward. And the king was getting annoyed, and he kicked Jadbharat. And still, there was loads of ants, and he kept on kicking. And he got really annoyed, and he started chastising Jadbharat. And of course, then after he finished chastising, then lo and behold, some nice, eloquent philosophy started coming from Jadbharat's mouth. And of course, he's completely shook and stunned. The king, thinking externally, judging externally, and these beautiful words came out from Jadbharat. And then there's a famous verse Maharaj Rahugana said. Prabhuji, do you know what it is? I think so. I don't know Sanskrit. What's the translation? No, I was thinking another one. I fear not. Can you find it?
Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gonitai ki. So, anyway, the verse is that I fear not the trident of Shiva, I fear not the rod of chastisement of Yamaraj, I fear not repeated birth in it, but I fear what? An offending a devotee. So this is where it brings us, that Jai and Vijay had offended the Kumaras. And when you offend someone, again, there's two different ways. If you offend someone, like the sadhu, you can walk away and not take offense. It takes a person of great spirituality not to be offended, not to be affected, and take the insult as an ornament. Because the Kumaras were not 100% on the pure spiritual, they were Brahmavadis, they took offense. And as a result, they took it upon themselves that Jai and Vijay made a mistake because they were judged externally as four naked little boys. This brings us to a very, very interesting discussion and conversation. It's a little bit controversial. I'm a controversial person anyway. Let's see what happens. Let's see where this takes. So if Vaikuntha realm is all pure, all spiritual, without anxiety, everyone is living in peace and harmony, why would someone fall from the Vaikuntha realm? I'm going to check it out a little bit. I have obviously my own understanding. I'm not a very philosophical person. I do follow a little bit. It was a big debated discussion. So here we are in Vaikuntha, a nice, beautiful place. We can see it over there in the picture. Everyone is in harmony, serving Krishna. But how is it that Jai and Vijay, in a place which is infallible, which is pure, can come down to the material world? And the second question, how or what the living entity came from originally? Okay, who's going to start it off? So yes, it didn't happen from the heart, the mind of Jai and Vijay. It happened because yoga, maya entered into the mind or the heart of Jai and Vijay. Krishna is known as Rasaraj. What does Rasaraj mean? Excuse me? King of different relationships, isn't it? He likes to enjoy his relationship with his devotees. There are different types of relationship. One of his them is chivalry, and the nectar of devotion is explained. And who is kind of usually given the example of this rasa with Krishna? Bhishma. Gopis, yes? Give us your input, purport, the gopi chivalry. Go on. Who said go? Yeah, go on. No, no. It's a Bhishma's generally, no? Here's a warrior Kshatriya firing arrows at Krishna. Krishna was enjoying this. The arrows were seen as what? Flowers. So everyone likes a little bit of a good fight now and then, isn't it? Whether it's a philosophical debate or whether it's like having a little bit of a wrestle. Krishna used to wrestle with the coward boys in Vrindavan. When I used to be in the Brahmachari, we used to wrestle with the Brahmacharis, have a little competition. So Krishna has that vira, rasa. He likes to fight.
And in Vaikuntha, what is it absent from? Sorry? Envy is there. Anything else? Anxiety. Anything else? Fear. Akhila, you said it? No demons in Vaikuntha. I mean, in the spiritual world. There's no Putana, there's no Vrikasura, there's no Kamsa, none of these demons. And these have that chivalry rasa with Krishna. So when you have that urge to fight and there's no one to fight with, then the only place that is possible to fight with someone is where? The material world, which is full of duality. So therefore, no better person to fight with than his own devotees. And therefore, it was something that was instigated by Lord Narayan himself. It wasn't something that Jaya and Vijay were off the rocker. They didn't do it on their own kind of malicious way. In that sense, they didn't even judge the four Kumaras. It was orchestrated by the Supreme Lord himself so that the Lord could come down in the material world, and Jaya and Vijay were given the option of being in the material world 7 times as devotees or 3 times as demons. It's an interesting choice. Being a devotee, you would think, what, Govinda? Become a devotee, come and enjoy being with devotees, serving Krishna. But Jaya and Vijay had a different kind of an understanding. What understanding did they have? Jaya? Jai, what Jai did Jai understanding have, Jai? Yes. So if you think about it, at least in the linear kind of a format, 7 is quite a long time to come, go, take birth. It's all very, very nice, but still it's within the material realm. They were very attached to their service. They really enjoyed being there in Vaikuntha, performing the service. So they wanted to limit their time in the material world. Who wants to stay in the material world, regardless if you're a devotee or not? We want to go back in the realm of serving the Lord. So they thought, let's have 3 births, finish it over, done and dusted, boom, we get reinstated. So that was their thinking. So then that so-called fall down was orchestrated by the Lord himself. But what about the souls? What about the living entities? Do we actually fall down from the living entity, the spiritual world? Is that where we were originally? Or how is our original kind of place? Any idea, thoughts? So there's 2 schools of thoughts here. 2 schools of thoughts where the soul, did they fall down? There was a book written by a devotee, not even a leaf falls in Vaikuntha. So if even a leaf doesn't fall in Vaikuntha, how can a pure soul fall from the spiritual world? So Govinda, what you were going to say?
Yeah, I'm saying because of the
But if the place is pure, free from envy, free from duality, where would those qualities come from in the first place? Prabhuji?
I had a question for you.
For me? Oh,
so what let's say that happens, it comes to the material world, it gets purified, then what happens?
Well, Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, one who goes to the spiritual world never comes back. Yes. So, Prabhuji? Taruna Prabhu? Yeah, I'm just trying to get into trouble here. So there, Deepak Prabhuji. Okay, it's good. Yeah, independence, we are marginal, tatastha. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. So supposing you're in the spiritual world, you're face to face with Krishna, imagine the happiness you're feeling being with Krishna, making a garland for Krishna, possibly playing your flute for Krishna. And you're so happy in that situation. What would possibly make you want to leave that situation and come to this rotten place? I don't know the answer. I'm just going to be straightforward. I'm going to leave it like Prabhuji saying, your gut's feeling. In the material, there's dualities. That's the point here in the Bhagavatam. So there's a dualities. Is that if we're in the all perfect place, face to face with Krishna, living over there, there's no possible way we would want to leave that all perfect place. But then there's the other kind of situation where the living entity is marginal, and then he has that independent, minute independence, and then he is allowed to be in whichever place he's allowed to be. So these are the two general thoughts. It's a perfect place. No one, not even a leaf falls from the spiritual world. What to speak of a soul is engaged in a loving relationship. Or it's a dreamlike state. And that's what Prabhupada explains. That I had a dream last night, strange dream. I was in Alachua, I'm not sure why. I think we were having a Bhagavatam class yesterday with my kids. We were talking about Alachua, and I guess that's... So then, was I in Alachua? Was I thinking of that place in my dream? Was I there? I don't think I was in Alachua. Or was I in Alachua? I remember seeing some of the devotees in Alachua. I saw Pishima there. I saw Mother Ruchira over there. So, but was I there? But there, if you look at my bedroom, there was fat Jai Krishna snoring away. So was I in my bedroom snoring away? Or was I in Alachua? Prabhuji?
Could it be both?
Prabhuji? Huh? Neither? Anyone else? Huh? Kingdom of God within you, that's right. So, a dream state, it releases your subtle body, and the subtle body goes and enjoys different imagination which takes place in your mind. So technically speaking, the subtle body was in Alachua and interacting with those people over there in my dream-like state. But the physical body was in the bedroom snoring away. So the spiritual world could be that when we're there, when we decide or we think that we're going to be separated from or want to be different from Krishna, then we go in what we call like a dream-like state. And then you wake up, you have those emotions or whatever, and then it's just a dream-like state. So sometimes I've been told is when you're playing with maybe, say, Krishna, then you're throwing a ball around. Have you ever noticed you're throwing a ball around? And then the ball goes a little bit too far, and then you're asked to go and collect the ball. Is it Phil? Have you ever played? And then you've been told to go and collect the ball. And then Phil is out there trying to get the ball, and everyone's, where is Phil? Where is Phil? And moment later, Phil turns up and he's got the ball in his hand. And then Krishna comes and embraces Phil. What took you so long? Where did you go? So that's another kind of a thought. And then I will end with a conclusion that they're both school of thoughts. Prabhupada spoke both ways. Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a deep kind of a philosophical discussion my tiny pea brain cannot possibly comprehend. But I will leave you with this one thought that Prabhupada has told us. And that is, if you're walking in the forest and then you're happy, go lucky, and all of a sudden you've been shot by an arrow. So Prabhuji, what's your first instinct if you've been shot by an arrow when you're walking down the forest? Andrew, what's your first instinct when you've been shot in the forest? Mataji, what's your first instinct? Die. What's happened? You don't realize what's happened. You try and get out of that harm's way situation. You try and get out of that harm way situation. You don't want more arrows coming flying at you. Bada boom, 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 shh. You want to get out of that situation. So here we are, lust, anger, and greed, desire, material arrows been shot at us. We don't know where they're coming from. The guy's a sniper. They get covered very, very nicely. Anyone seen Maya? Now, Maya has a very good way of covering herself. So we're not able to recognize her. So all these arrows are coming at us. So we're not going to stop and think, hey, where did this arrow come from? Hey, where did this arrow come from? Hey, let me think about it. Let me try and analyze. No. You think of trying to get out of that situation. You don't want to be in that situation. So regardless from where we come from, whether we've always been here in Tathastanga or we come from the spiritual world, doesn't matter. What do we have to do? Get out. So the Monopoly, you always wanted what card? Get out of the material jail card. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna. Any question, comments, complaints, Prabhuji? So sometimes I've been told that when you go back to the spiritual world, you have a little bit of a mark. So I got a mark on my hand over here. And every time I look at that mark, it reminds me when I was a kid, I put my hand through a window trying to break into a derelict house. And all blood was gushing out. I then go to the hospital, because in those days, if you hurt yourself, your parents gave you a big smack. Wasn't it? Patang! So therefore, you just try to solve the wound yourself. And then you probably need stitches. So then now that mark reminds me of what? Huh? Never smash your hand through the window. So then that mark is embedded on my gross body. So then when you go to the spiritual world, it's also marked in a subtle way. Material world place is not a place to come back. Anything else? I'm leaving it to you. Next time you give a class, you can tell us. Parama, Haribo Pandit, local Pandit, anything to say? Thinking, feeling, willing, and doing. Okay, I think breakfast awaits us. Okay, Haribol. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hari Hari Bol.